It's Your Business, and this show is centered around the Affordable Health Care Program with deadlines now 10 days from today, the last day of March. And since this program opened, or almost opened, on October 1st for some, this is the 14th show in our series. Remember, it's just discussion, no politics, how you enroll, what you need to know as a business, and some community meetings. Joining us today in the studio, Deb Muller, Avera Health Plan.
Good morning.
Catherine Parker, or Kate, as I've called her. Is that okay with you?
Please, Kate, yes.
She is with the Sanford Health Plan. Jill Kessler from the Community Health Organization of the
Dakotas.
You know, I just call it Chad. I got a son named Chad, but we have to identify you. And then there's Abby, who was traveling last time, and Abby Vanderwerf with Holt McDowell. And if we can, it's nice to have you back.
Thanks, Bill.
I saw that around your neck. I thought it was a lei of some kind from Hawaii, but it wasn't.
Right? I wasn't in Hawaii, Mexico. But it's not a lei.
Oh, okay. Very pretty,
from
though.
From T. South Dakota.
There we go. T South. How do you know that? You guys are,
because
you know.
Because we already had this discussion.
We talk.
And ladies do talk. And that's what they're going to do in this hour. Abby, businesses should be thinking about reporting requirements, affordability, minimum value, and confirming whether or not they qualify for transition relief. Can you kind of go into that? Because a lot of this is going to deal with the deadline coming up, but businesses have a different game.
Yeah, so you did mention 10 days from today at the beginning of the show, and that's really focusing on individual folks signing up for health insurance. For the businesses, I would love to say this is just ramping up for you, but gosh, you've been ramping up since 2010. So now we just have some additional regulations, some final regulations, things that we know now that we're going to have to start to prepare for 2015. One of the big ones, again, being reporting. And really, I think employers now are having to start to look at their internal systems as to how they're going to capture some of this data that's going to need to be reported to the government. And think about this in W-2 mentality. So you're already probably having a system that's built for W-2s. This is going to be some additional requirements, but it's going to kind of be in a W-2 fashion. So you're going to report some information to the government. You're also going to be sending some stubs to your employees as well on the same time frame. So that'll be a big deal for employers starting in 2016, but for the 2015 calendar year.
All right. That's the business side to do the introduction. But Deb and Kate, we're going to put you guys under the clock, because that's what we're all under right now as we start heading out. Can you set for us what happens as it sits now on March 31st? And is it just the same old game after March 31st where people can continue to call, or is this the end of it?
March 31st is a hard stop date, not just for healthcare.gov, but also for insurance carriers. So if you were thinking, well, I'm not going to qualify for any of the tax credits that are available through healthcare.gov, I really don't have to worry about this open enrollment period. I'll just get my insurance this summer after all of the hubbub is done. Well, I'm going to be the bearer of bad news here. And that is that open enrollment will close for healthcare.gov on March 31st. And also with the individual insurance carriers as well, they are going to be closing too, as we know it here in South Dakota, also on March 31st of 2014. So the only way that you're going to be able to get access to health insurance in the individual marketplace is if you have what is called a special enrollment event. And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Kate, when you hear Deb say, as she did, this sounds like a hard, fast deadline, but we've heard deadlines change in this game since October. Is this pretty much it?
I believe it is, Bill. You know, there was a lot of speculation that it would get extended again and again. And we had some other news a few weeks ago, other sort of transition policies, and it was made very clear to us by the White House and the Secretary Sebelius that March 31st is a hard deadline. They weren't going to change it. So that is the date that people have to have health insurance coverage in order not to be penalized.
Jill Kessler is with Community Health Associations of the Dakotas. I hope I've got enough A's and D's and CH's in that. But Jill, from your side, the lines have been reported at the Falls Community Health the last couple of days. What is important for people to know there?
Just that don't wait until the very last minute to seek out assistance, that the community health centers are, the phones are ringing off the hooks. They have back-to-back appointments. They're there to help, but just don't wait until the very end. And also, just go on to healthcare.gov. There's a link for find local help, and you can find other assisters in the area, too.
You know, I would think there's probably people out there that are now saying, that's 10 days away. They're looking at it a little different today than they did 30 days ago, 60 days ago, last October. You're encouraging people to get things done. You got people that are coming. And so that people, if they're hearing this for the first time, who can come to the community center? Who can visit with Chad?
Anybody can visit the community health centers or the navigators at the hospitals or access healthcare.gov and click on the find local help. It will kind of walk you through, prompt you, are you looking for individual coverage for yourself and your family? Are you looking for assistance with Medicaid? Are you looking for in business for your employer, for a shop? So then it will prompt you to the right navigator or assister in your area.
You heard Deb and Kate talk about this hard deadline for the 31st, and there might be some people saying, well, is this a different program if I have an exemption, if I have something else? How does that fit in?
Well, there isn't, the deadline for March 31st doesn't apply for federally recognized tribal enrollment and also for Medicaid. But otherwise, it is a hard and fast deadline, except for special provisions. If you have a life event, a birth of a child, as Deb mentioned, a divorce, change in coverage like that.
At one time, when we had Linda in here talking a little bit for Chad, we talked about some scheduled community events that were going on. I know the library has been involved. You've had a lot of different things, but some of that has changed or is changing, correct?
Well, there's been a lot of community events. I think in the last kind of push, they're really trying to focus on the folks that they can help that are coming in just to handle the sheer volume at this point. So,
all right, where is the community center?
The Falls Community Health is at 521 North Main Avenue here in Sioux Falls, and their phone number is 605-978-6890.
When we come back, we're going to get some additional numbers and try to help you any way we can, whether it's a business, whether it is some help that you may have with an exemption, or just think that all of this will just continue down the road. We'll try to answer all those questions, part of our Affordable Health Care Session 14. All right, we are back. That was a short break. We didn't do much there. But that's okay. We had just started our discussions. We can come back. Deb is always ready to go. So is Kate. So is Jill and Abby in our show today. And we're going to use every minute in this event that is 10 days away.
Deb? Honestly, that break reminded me, Bill, of something that we've been talking about a lot, which is during the course of this year, we've been nudging people. And well, this last week, we're pushing folks to say, if you need health insurance, you need to get it now. You can't wait. We need to get going. And we're seeing responses to that push message. And that's happening through a series. I know that the Department of Health and Human Services is using March Madness to push a lot of advertising marketing materials out.
Right.
And again, I want to really encourage folks, you aren't just limited to healthcare.gov. You can go direct to carriers. You can go to agents who can go direct to carriers and choose the plan of your choosing, whether it's any of the three marketplace carriers or it's a Blue Cross Blue Shield plan. Now is the time to do that. And please don't wait, because we've seen the system perform well to this point in time.
Boy, it wasn't that way when we started.
No, it sure wasn't. And we're starting to see it tested on a daily basis. It goes down maybe four times a day that we're seeing for half-hour increments because the volume is getting so heavy. And at that point in time, people have to flip over to what are called paper applications. But But for the most part, it's stable. I think it's going to continue to be stable through the weekend, Monday and Tuesday of next week. But I can give you no assurances for Wednesday on out. So do it this weekend. If you have friends, family members, business colleagues that you're working with who want to look at insurance coverage, have them either work direct with their carriers or through healthcare.gov, through the community assisters or navigators to get insurance set in place this weekend and early next week.
Kate, from your end.
Well, you know, Bill, I was just looking at some of your notes about our people getting their premiums paid, and I thought I would touch on that a little bit. I read this weekend that the White House acknowledged that there are 5 million people that have enrolled in healthcare.gov. Of those 5 million, a fifth of those have not paid their premiums, and I think that's an important number. So that means 20% of those that have enrolled nationally have not paid their premiums.
Does that mean they're enrolled or not?
Do not have coverage.
They are not enrolled.
They do not have coverage. If they don't pay their premiums, if they don't pay that first month premium, they do not have coverage.
Are you seeing that in terms of the average, in terms of your payments? Because we're seeing about 90% payment rate. Are you pretty close to 90?
We are actually lower. We're about 75%.
Oh, wow.
And as part of this article that I read, it said that... I just completely blanked.
Well, that's okay. You know, one of the things that we're doing, maybe it's part of the difference, is we chase people down for payment in a nice way. But we do welcome letters that include the you got to get your payment in. Then we do additional follow-up invoicing. And then we do personal phone calls out to everybody that we can find, just encouraging them to please get their payments in. Because in order to get health insurance coverage from any of us, you need to... pay your premium, and you need to enroll in the reverse order, enroll and then pay your premium. And then you get an identification card, and then your services will be paid when you present that identification card out to your healthcare provider.
Let me get this, too. And you said 75% was your number?
Yes.
So how many people enrolled through Sanford?
Well, we have currently 1,313. And a majority of those are in South Dakota with over 1,000, about 1,100 in South Dakota. So, and that's where I got that 75%. We had 1,400 applications, and right now we have about 1,100 active members.
From your end, Deb, with Avera?
It's literally changing overnight. We were yesterday at 6,800. Last night, our file load came over from the federal government with an 80 applicants on it. So... I guess that puts us getting close to 6,800 now today, so it just keeps coming.
And I think we'll keep seeing that push, yeah, obviously, through the end of the month.
Okay, so let me understand with what you said. If they're not paid, they are included still in that role, 6,800 that you would have and the 1,300
that you would have? Yes. What we break it down to is we say applicants. We've had 6,800 applicants to the health insurance marketplace coming to us. This doesn't include numbers for those people who are purchasing direct from us currently. And then when they move into a paid status, then they become a member with our health plan. And when they become a member with our health plan, it has been January, February, March, and April, a 90% payment rate. So we are projecting for May that we'll be at 90% as well in terms of the payment rates. So roughly whatever we tell you from an applications number, if you take 90% of that number, that gets you close to what our membership number looks like on any given point in time.
Abby, from your end, small groups have been receiving letters that they didn't meet Affordable Care Act requirements, that is something that they should follow, and you're still waiting on final details from the State Division of Insurance?
You know, I'll touch on that. I want to make one comment about what these ladies are talking about before I jump into that. And I think my mom did this to me this week, and so I think it's perfect to talk about the misperceptions of things. We talk a lot about individual healthcare.gov, sign up now by March 31st. We're talking about what businesses have to do. But we all know that we don't listen to things until it's about time that we feel like listening to things. And I think the important thing for people out there listening to understand is if you have access or you're enrolled in coverage through your employer, you don't have to worry about all this individual stuff that we're talking about. And I do get questions on occasion about that. Okay, so what do I need to do? well, you have coverage through your employer, right? Yeah, but don't I have to sign up by March 31st? No, you already have coverage. So that's the big thing, people, is make sure that you're covered, whether it's through a group plan, whether it's through Medicare, whether it's through TRICARE, whether it's through healthcare.gov or one of these individual policies. You just have to have coverage. You don't absolutely have to sign up through healthcare.gov in order to get coverage.
As we close February, Dustin from Ostitz was in with us. He joined us and he talked about when they went through as a small business, they thought they were going to be less than 50 employees, but the government said not so fast, my friend Dave Ostitz, and they combined all 9 stores, soon to be his 10th store that opens, I think, April 1st in Iowa. It's the final rules again, I presume, pay or play?
Correct. And so really these guys were really, and all of us in general, were kind of opening, had our eyes opened when this came out, that you have to take common ownership rules into account when you're determining whether or not you're a large business. And so we've seen a lot of our retailer franchises, people who own several hotels, maybe they own several hotels and 20 McDonald's. They're now having this population where they have common ownership and they're bringing all these groups together. It's the classic Wendy's in Omaha case where they said, we're just going to cut hours in so we have no full-time people so that we're not penalized. These people really, really are a lot of work. They're having to go through a lot of analysis from a cost standpoint as well as a size standpoint. Am I large? Okay, what does that mean? Is it smarter for me to offer my people coverage now because I've never done it before because I have high turnover, I have low-paid people? Or is it smarter for me to figure out that I'm going to pay the penalty or I'm going to offer coverage? They really have a lot of homework to do.
There's something, too, that I think that bridges Abby's world working with the groups and the individual world, and that is business checks being used to pay for individual insurance coverage. And we're all going to smile here that work in this industry day in and day out, because the state of South Dakota has a very specific rule that's on the books that states that you cannot use your business check to pay for your employees, note plural, employees' health insurance premiums in the individual marketplace. You cannot purchase an individual policy for a number of your employees with your business check. What you can do if you're going to purchase with a business check, the only circumstances is if you are a sole proprietor or you are the only employee within that business. Then you can do a business check. Otherwise, we are required as a health insurance company, if we find out that somebody has paid us with a business check, we have to go to the business and say, do you have any other employees? If you have other employees, we are sorry, but you will have to give us a different check, not from a business account. The employee has to pay for it directly themselves. We've learned that about 200 times in this season where individuals are providing us with business checks without a substantiation that they are either a sole proprietor or they only have themselves or one person as an employee.
When Dustin joined us from Ostitz, you weren't here. You were in Hawaii, Mexico. Where were you?
Mexico.
Okay. That's not a part of this country.
Again, anymore. Mexico. It was warm.
Yes, it was. It's getting warmer here. And we learned in the first hour today, it's warmer in Sioux Falls than in Fargo. So things are okay.
Good. I'm glad I don't live in Fargo.
But what we did talk about was with Dustin, some of those employees found out that it was not affordable health care because it was going up 7 to 9% for some. Some was 1 or 2%. So when we use that word affordable health care and you start talking businesses, and I know you consult with a lot of businesses, what are they telling you?
Yeah, so I mean, really, this goes back to, you know, several of our shows where we've talked about what's your definition of affordability, and the government's very clear in what they consider affordable coverage from an employer, and that's that the single only premium cannot cost the employee more than 9.5% of their household income. Because employers have no way of knowing what an employee's actual household income is, they have 3 optional safe harbors that they can use, which are, I won't get into a lot of details, but one of them has to do with a W-2, one of them has to do with their hourly rate of pay, and one of them has to do with what the federal poverty level currently is. So they have some criteria that they can use to base the affordability off from. And certainly, it was eye-opening on both sides of the fence. Some individuals that were on their employer's group plan went out to the marketplace just to be nosy. And they said, it is way cheaper out there for me to buy a policy individually than it is for me to be on my employer's plan. And then some people were like, thank goodness I don't have to go out and buy a policy out there because it's really expensive and my employer contributes a lot of money. Thank goodness that I have employer-sponsored coverage. So the thing is that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to this like there isn't for anything else in life. And so going back to what Deb said, we had a lot of employers right off the bat say, well, now we have this great marketplace. I'm just going to give my employees tax-free money. They can go buy their own policy. It's going to be great. And the government put a big kibosh on that. They basically came flat out and said, this will not be allowed. You cannot give your employees pre-tax money to go to the marketplace and purchase their own plan.
Jill from Chad, I'm going to go a little bit different direction with you. We're getting feedback over here from businesses. What kind of feedback do you get, the people that come through the community and the libraries?
Well, I think the consumers are just very glad for assistance, and I would just encourage that if consumers have had difficulty in the past, either navigating online or on the website themselves, that they reach out to an in-person assister and just get that clarification, and they can further the process on their own, because there is limited capacity and time here. So the other thing that's been reported is that some folks have been receiving solicitation calls and letters saying that they can help them with enrollment at a fee. And just to know that there is free impartial assistance out there. You don't have to be paying for it.
All right. So if they're getting those kind of calls, who do they tell that they're coming in? What kind of information would it help to run these people down that look like they're maybe doing a little scamming to those people that can't afford to be scammed?
I think if they're contacting like their community health center, if they have a copy of the letter to bring it in, or you know, any kind of documentation that they have, that we can follow up with it with the insurance division.
Affordable health care. That's a topic that people have been talking about since October. Is it? Isn't it? The problem is March 31st is a deadline. We'll talk about what to do, what not to do, as our special affordable health care segment continues. Welcome back to It's Your Business, the affordable health care. We're talking about whether it is or isn't. And we have the experts in the building today. Abby Vanderwerf from Holt McDowell has been drawing the picture on businesses. Deb Muller from the Avera Health Plan, Kate Parker, Sanford Health Plan, and Jill from CHAD, Community Health Association of the Dakotas. Close enough?
That's good enough.
All right. Now, I'm a listener out there. I'm frantic. March 31st is coming up. Are you telling me as a listener today that if I haven't signed up, if I don't have it through my employer, that I can't find some place to get insurance after March 31st?
That is correct, Bill. It's the open enrollment ends March 31st. The next open enrollment begins November of this coming year, but that doesn't mean you're going to have coverage in November. You're going to have to wait until you get coverage in January. On January 1st, 2015. So if you do not sign up by March 31st, unless you have a special enrollment qualification, you will not be able to sign up again and get coverage until January 1st of 2015.
All right. Deb, in South Dakota, we have 800,000 people.
Yeah.
We've had roughly 8,000 sign up. So how many people March 31st are not going to have insurance? Roughly. 50,000 people that will not have insurance.
Yeah. 46,000 people would be eligible for Medicaid if we would have taken the Medicaid expansion, and they run between 0 and 100% of the federal poverty level. Our total uninsured population goes anywhere from, depending upon which statistician you listen to, will go anywhere from 70,000 up to 120,000. I tend to believe that there is roughly 50,000 people that are out there that have chosen to not pick up health insurance for whatever reason in an uninsured capacity that are over that 100% threshold. We've got 80... Let's be optimistic. We'll have 10,000 people that'll have insurance by the end of March 31st that didn't going into this. There's still literally tens of thousands of South Dakotans that are going blind, that when they reach for their billfold or their pocketbook, they open it up, there's no insurance card in there. That means they're paying the full load when they go to the emergency department, when they go to the doctor's office, when they have a hospitalization. And on April 1st, if that billfold is still not got a card in it, they won't get a card until January 1st of 2015.
All right. I'm going to be just a bit cynical, as our listeners tend to be with all the politics that we hear talk. They're going to change it. They're not going to let us sit out there in an election year. They're going to make sure that something happens so that 80,000, which is your number, are not going to be left without insurance. Am I off base someplace? Am I missing something? Or are we going to see a great change on March 31st?
Well, what we know is what we've heard so far. Prognosticating in health reform land is not a business that I want to be in because things do change. But I will tell you that the Secretary of Health and Human Services last week was in Atlanta, and she said we are absolutely not going to be extending the deadline, nor are we going to be eliminating the individual mandate. And I know that this resonates with individuals in business and in the insurance industry as to the why behind that, because the biggest issue now that I'm concerned about is once we get past April 1st and why we are pushing people to get coverage is that we need stable premiums for everyone. We do not need to see large hikes in premium in 2015, 2016, 2017 for the people who are being responsible and purchasing health insurance now and getting coverage. So once we start moving these rules and say, well, okay, you can come into this insurance pool July 1st after you've had your accident or after you've notified yourself that you're pregnant, or after you've received a bad diagnosis in the doctor's office, then we'll let you come in and get insurance at that point in time. Well, what happens is that destabilizes the health insurance premiums for everybody that's going to be purchasing in 2015 and 16. So even in an election year, that's a pretty powerful statement because thankfully, and especially in South Dakota, people are very responsible, and they do take this responsibility seriously of taking health insurance coverage. We do not want to disrupt that majority of folks.
Jill, from your side, there are a lot of people, we have 150 cultures in Sioux Falls. There are a lot of people that are not going to understand it. The people that understand English today probably aren't understanding. Imagine if you're one of the other cultures trying to understand this, and you're told no insurance after March 31st.
Right. I think that's one of the good reasons to seek out an in-person assister because they can kind of help with that. There's interpreter services that are available because this is a very complicated issue just for the average person. And then when you put some language barriers in there, it makes it that much more difficult. So again, just reach out to an in-person assister and they can answer the questions, help navigate through the rest of the process. If they feel that they can, then continue on with the call center or on the website.
All right. So my answer is we just jump on the back of Abby and all the businesses and say, we'll go to business and they'll take care of us. And you would say, with the businesses you're talking with?
Yeah. So, I mean, if individuals are thinking they're going to get coverage through their employer, it's the age-old message that we've been sending for years that you can't sign up for your employer's plan unless it's open enrollment or you have a qualifying or special enrollment event either. So you need to make sure you're doing your due diligence if you're not covered today and you want coverage.
All right. So we're putting a deadline out there. It's March 31st. People need to have phone numbers. They need to have websites to visit. And please share with them the information that they can get and the numbers, websites that they can go to business-wise. Start with you, Abby.
Yeah, so we're Howalt McDowell Insurance, 1-800-584-7054 or howaltmcdowell.com.
And Jill?
communityhealthcare.net, and there's a link on there to find local help on our main page, and it also has a listing of all of the community health centers throughout the Dakotas.
And you don't wait for a scheduled meeting over there. Just come in at regular times and
right.
Get some help.
You can, I mean, there's walk-ins are available, but with the workload and as the demand that's increased, I would suggest, giving them a call or you know, starting the process at least online or through the website, healthcare.gov or 1-800-318-2596.
Kate from Sanford, if they call, and the number they call, what are they going to be able to get through Sanford?
Well, we have lots of resources available to applicants and our members. Just simply call 1-800-251-5316, and someone can help you either connect you with an agent or connect you with healthcare.gov. And we're also, we have plans available online at sanfordhealthplan.com.
And from Avera, Deb.
There is this proverb, and the proverb goes from the Old Testament. Why tell my neighbor something tomorrow when I can help them today? So stop in today. We're at 3816 South Elmwood here in Sioux Falls. You can call us at 322-2115, or you can visit our website, which is www.averahealthplans.com, and we'll make sure that we help you today.
March 31st is the deadline. There are some businesses that have different plans, different exemptions that they have. It's up to you what you do with insurance for you and your family. The intent of the show was to provide you the information, let you make your own decision. We've given you information today to help call, get the answers you need. And if you have questions, take the time to do it. It's your family, and it's important that we take the time, particularly 10 days out, that we do something and not do it 10 days after. We want to thank the ladies that have joined us today, Abby Vanderwerth from Holt McDowell, Jill Kessler from CHAD, Community Health Association.
Community Health Care Association of the Dakotas.
I've learned that through 14 shows. And Kate Parker from Sanford Health Plan and Deb Muller from Avera Health Plan. Ladies, thanks for taking the time today. I hope it hasn't fallen on deaf ears, because at this
point, we
have a lot of people that need the information. They need to make sure they're covered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Let's see if we're covered this morning with Jordan Olson. Jordan is at Advanta Mortgage, and he has joined us with the loan photo of the day. Jordan, good morning to you.
Morning, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Tell us what's up.
Good, good. We got a FHA rates today are sitting at about 4.25%. That brings us to an APR of about 5.9%. Obviously, the rates are all subject to credit approval, but they've been holding steady, and they're still looking really good for everybody. So,
you know, the one thing that I'm reading this morning is that Freddie and Fannie may go away. Should we be concerned today?
You know, that's going to take some time. I don't know if concern is the right kind of word, but it looks like Senator Johnson put some things in motion here. I just saw that article in the Argus Leader this morning, actually. So,
all right. When we say 18-7, what's that mean?
18-7, that means you can get a hold of every one of our mortgage bankers 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. We always have somebody on call ready to answer any questions anybody might have for us.
And the contact information for people that need some help this weekend. And we know, Jordan, that one size never fits all.
Never fits all, but we like to think we have a loan program that's right for everybody's needs. And if anybody has any questions over the weekend or today, they can always get a hold of us. Our number is 275-2777.
Jordan, we appreciate the help. We know that the folks at Advanta Mortgage are good people. And we always say Advanta Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. And you can always count on Jordan, right?
Oh, of course, Bill. You know that.
All right. You guys have a nice weekend.
You too. Thanks, Bill.
When we come back, we're going to do a little bit more business this morning, including introducing you to somebody new to the It's Your Business family that's going to be a part of our agribusiness show as well, all a part of our special show. Welcome back to It's Your Business. Kind of a busy little Friday here today. We're going to do a visit with Dr. Tim Lee Burton, but he is in surgery this morning at Specialty Orthopedics. He's a part of our golf show and has kept us in good stead through that, particularly with all the injuries to the pro golfers. And as we wait for warmer weather here, with this being the first full day of spring, Darren Hoovendick joins us from Client Staffing Solutions. Your dad's been on a road trip, i.e. a vacation. But you guys have been providing a lot of help for veterans.
Yeah, we definitely have. You know, it's fun to really make a difference in their lives and, you know, give them opportunities and help them, you know, adjust back into the civilian lifestyle.
You know, your dad has been on the air. He's done what I kind of call a first-rate job as far as helping. And no charge to the veterans. They've been on our show, and they've admitted that they get a lot out of the service. They don't want to waste their time. And I think the message is being spread, not only here in South Dakota, but I know through Bellevue University down in Nebraska and across the country. How does it make you feel to see your dad working and making this work?
Oh, it's great, Bill. You know, just spreading the word and helping as many people as we can, that's what we're all about. You know, this week down in Bellevue, they actually put on a course for the military veterans and basically a transition course. And, of course, his book was, you know, given out to the veterans down there. And I think that happened yesterday, I believe.
Very nice. Very nice. And again, there's no charge to the service. And a lot of times the veterans have come out of the military, they've served their country, and they come back out. They're not quite sure how to get back into the civilian service because 20 years ago when they went to the military, it was a far different scene than it is today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Things have really changed. And, you know, with the downturn in the economy a couple of years ago, things are a little tighter. And, you know, it's just a change, a different world for them.
How did he happen to write a couple of books?
You know, since I was a little kid, he's always said he wanted to write a book and, you know, just, you know, kind of leave his stamp on out there and, you know, help people has always been his focus. And so, you know, we encouraged him and, you know, he just started writing. He, of course, you know, my dad, he started writing about 5 books at once and sat down with the editor and she said, let's maybe start with one. And, so that's, you know, that's how we got started with that. And, you know, there's more books in the future for sure.
You know, I have run into a lot of people that Russ has been able to help, and that included Lucas Lynch, our Secretary of Agriculture here in South Dakota. I was at a couple of meetings this week, and they said, you got that Russ on your show, and he helped my son do this, and he helped somebody else do that. 20-plus years that he's been providing the executive recruiting side of it, and he's helped a lot of people, and the big thing that people should know is that he's working with a Fortune 500 company or three, and he is able to help people locate, find the job. And the best thing is, as well, Darren, there's no charge to them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the best part of it all.
All right. As a son, Dad would want you to give information as to how they can reach you.
Of course. They can reach us at directionalmotivation.com, or they can give us a call at the office at 605-362-8176.
Darren Hovendick, we appreciate it. Russ back next week?
Yes, he is.
All right. I'm going to tell him how good a job you did. You know, we kind of talked that I thought that you could do a good job because, you know, he kind of talks about you're the one that keeps the business running. But you know what he does. You know how well he does it. And you know the fact that we got to put the people that need jobs together with Russ who can help find them. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you, Bill.
You bet. Well, we're excited to introduce a new era to the News Talk 1320, and with the help of those in our audience, we found just the right commodity company to lead our plan to give our audience commodity calls. Everything pointed to Coima Kamig from Mitchell to Sioux Falls and beyond. Coima's name has kept coming up. And so did a guy by the name of Scott Verlich. Scott has joined us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill.
You know, I made the trip down there. It was a snowy day, and Sarah was driving, and it was one of those days where trucks were splashing at us. We didn't know if we were going to make it there. It was at least a couple of miles from Sioux Falls. But when we got there and sat down with you, I found a young man who is obviously part of the next generation of those that are going to be able to keep our farmers and those producers informed. You guys have quite the office down there in Sioux Center. Why is it that Sioux Center kept getting good reviews from people in Sioux Falls, in Beresford, in Brookings, and in Mitchell?
Our founders, Brad and Lauren, I've got Brad Koyma and Lauren Kamick. They started this in the early 80s, started basically with a large cattle background, as well as some grains. They're both farmers on the side. Started it that long ago, and their popularity just grew. They do an excellent job of marketing. They both have strong backgrounds in the ag, and being around that many years, their business has just grown, and it continues to grow. So within the last 5 years, they've had to add three of us new brokers on, expanded the secretary staff a little bit, just continuing to grow. There's more of a need for our job with the market volatility that's out there. Markets move a lot more than they used to. There used to be just a couple cent move in the grains in a day, and that might have been a big move. And now things have definitely changed. We need to watch our bottom lines, be better marketers of what we have. We have too much money hanging out there to just to not do anything, I guess, is the new way of thinking.
Scott, the other thing that we talked about was the old-style commodity reporting, and that when you go to work early in the morning and you hear on a radio station what is yesterday's close, your first reaction was you have to turn it off. Can you explain why?
All these markets are trading, you know, almost 23 hours a day. On the livestock, they do trade 23 hours a day. The grains reopen again at 7 at night after closing at 1:15. And it's a world economy now. We have to look to China, what they're doing. Things happen in the overnight, so a lot can happen while we're sleeping. So when I get up in the morning at 6:30, we've got new news trading. Yesterday's pit closes are the past. We've already made a move, not necessarily, but more than likely we've made a move in the overnight on some news. So in the morning, you know, when I get here in the morning, it's time to dig into that information and find out what's making the markets move overnight and look for new stuff throughout the day that's going to happen here. So just more of a world market, and things are going to move about 23 hours a day now.
Scott Verilek, who is going to be joining us on the 31st, and we're going to talk a little bit before then to kind of to get you acquainted with him. He's going to provide some good information. His background is that he grew up on a registered Angus ranch in South Dakota, graduated from SDSU with a bachelor's degree in ag business, and you were active in the rodeo team there.
Yeah, did a lot of rodeo in there in my days, and still like to do a little bit of that on the side, but big Jackrabbit fan all around, so... it was a great opportunity for me to do that alongside, and actually help pay for a little bit of my college doing that at SDSU. So it was a great opportunity, and it's a great school.
We're going to have reports from you guys at 11:30 Monday through Friday. What are you going to include in those 90 seconds?
Well, what we're going to try to do, we can hone in real quick on the main markets that we watch here, and maybe if something on the outside markets is affecting the ag commodity markets, we can kind of touch on that. But we need to kind of look at what live cattle and the feeder cattle are doing. Is there something that's, you know, making them move where they're at, as well as the lean hogs and the grains? We'll focus in on the corn, the soybeans, and do some wheat prices. There's not a lot of wheat traders. Not near as many as corn and soybeans, but just kind of touch on the overall grain sector. What's making it move? Where are these prices at? They move continuously, so it's good to have up-to-date information on that. So we'll give you a nice brief overview. Maybe I'll touch on a few points in that 90 seconds.
You're going to be our point man as well on some of the government reports.
Yes, USDA monthly reports are a very popular thing for traders, something that the trade looks towards to maybe help decide the next move. For example, today is a cattle on feed report at 2 o'clock. It's their monthly number, monthly report. They come out with numbers. How many cattle do we have on feed compared to last year? How many were placed? How many placements were there in the last month? As well as how many were marketed. So we just kind of hone in on what the overall picture is. Grain reports also come out once a month, kind of with our ending stocks number. Also, they'll start looking towards this next crop once it gets into the ground? How's it performing? What's kind of their expectations compared to prior years on yield? Just kind of, you know, the market kind of looks for those, and once those reports come out, they are big movers of the market, so definitely something that's important for us to follow.
Coy McCamig, Scott Verilek, welcome to our It's Your Business family.
Yes, I'm glad to be here. It's a great opportunity for us to be able to deliver some markets with you guys, and I think we'll have a fun run here.
I do too. Scott, we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, thanks, sir.
You bet. Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones joins us with a Main Street to Wall Street report. While we've been talking commodities, how about what's happening in that Main Street to Wall Street, Todd?
Morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Morning, everyone. Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones bringing you the daily financial market report. Stocks are trading higher with renewed optimism on the U.S. economy. Geopolitical concerns remain in view over the situation in Ukraine. In corporate news, Tiffany reported quarterly earnings below expectations and provided initial earning outlook for fiscal 14 below expectations. So far this morning in the S&P 500 index, the best performing sector is utilities. The worst performing sector is healthcare. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 100 points at 16,430. The S&P 500 is up 8 at 1,880. And the NASDAQ is down 11 at 4,308. Volume on the New York Exchange has traded about 500 million shares, which is a lot. Advancers are outnumbering decliners by a 3-to-1 margin. Commodity markets. Non-grain. Gold is up $8 at $1,336. Silver is up 11 cents at $20.37. And crude is up $1.22 at $100 per barrel. In some stocks of local interest, Daktronics is trading at $14.35. Citigroup is up 53 cents at $50.75. Raven off 15 cents at 32.83. Summit Hotel Properties is up 20 cents at 9.26. And Meta Financial Bank is up 53 cents at 45.80. This is Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones, a member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention, long-term financial advice in Sioux Falls, bringing you the Wall Street to Main Street report, Bill.
Yes, sir. And when our audience needs more information, how's the best way to reach you?
Locally, 371-0375 or at todd.neuberger@edwardjones.com.
Todd, we'll talk to you Monday.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. John at Valentino's. It is John, isn't it? Have I got Joy now?
Nope, it's John again.
You're making her work on this Fish Friday, aren't you?
Yeah, she's manning the store.
Well, she does a good job with that. With it is being Fish Friday, you have those that are going to eat fish. The others are saying just regular for me.
Yep, and we go through a lot of chicken on our buffet. Chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy. It's funny because probably the number one customer for the mashed potatoes and gravy are the young ladies. The comfort food.
You're
they
kidding.
Really enjoy it. Nope, and that's why I was surprised. I would have picked something else, but it seems like it's mashed potatoes and gravy, comfort food is what they like.
Well, and with basketball starting in about 15 minutes, a great place to go is go into the little room with the TVs. You can eat your lunch, keep eating, and, you know, self cheering for the team that makes a difference.
Yeah, and we do get a lot of teams in also, and I think it's the power of pasta that gives them the edge to win that game.
I think you're probably right. And Sunday brunch is coming up.
Sunday brunch. We open at 9 a.m. with a lot of different breakfast items. We have orange juice and a fresh fruit tray. We also have homemade biscuits and gravy. We make our own muffins. Of course, we've got scrambled eggs, ham, sausage, and bacon. And some of the best waffles and French toast in town you'll find. Plus different breakfast casseroles and fried potatoes.
There you go. John at Valentino's, 41st and Willow. You guys have a great weekend.
You too, Bill.
Well, John is rolling the music. That means our time's up. Thank you for yours.